The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 471. On the podcast today, I have John Mayer, mining analyst, nay, expert, I'd say. Talks about the macroeconomic environment as far as mining is concerned, commodities. Also specifically mentions Rio Tinto, Glencore, Norilsk Gold, Serabi Gold, Caledonia Mining, Aureus Mining, Finnish Mining, and Sol Gold. Plus, I have Zach, who I met at Saturday at the UK Investor Show. He'll be looking at the charts of the following stocks: Berkeley Energia, that's BKY, Rose Petroleum, Kepi Minerals, Infrastrata, Goldstone Resources, Nighthawk Energy, Safestyle UK, Standard Chartered, Anglo-Asian, Highland Natural Resources, and Harvest Minerals. Plus, I have today's suggested stock with potential, as suggested by a listener to this podcast. By all means, get involved. Go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog to submit a stock you think has potential, and I could read it out on tomorrow's podcast. It's by Donald, and it's Dragonfly Investments. I've also got a 5-star rating from a listener to this podcast and a review. I'll read that out later. Dedicate the podcast to you, by the way. I'm now up to 140 5-star reviews. I want to get to 150. So if you listen to the podcast, get any value, please click the link here at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. There's a link there to iTunes. They don't make it easy. You know, if you can find that and do it, I do appreciate that. If you leave a 5-star review there and a rating, then I will dedicate a podcast to you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst at SP Angel. John, thanks for coming on.
Oh, well, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, and if people don't know you, I mean, I've heard of you, and you know, in your field, you're a bit of a legend. I've tried to get you on before, actually, through the guys at Vox, but it's glad you're on right now. So let's talk about the mining field first. Somebody's got to start off really with gold. It's been just hit $1,300 there, and where's it going, John? Do you know what's happening here?
Well, it's never an easy metal to forecast, but what we can say is if the dollar continues to weaken, the gold price in dollar terms will continue to is more than likely to continue to go up. We've seen interest in futures holdings in gold rise to over 1 million ounces. We've seen ETF positions rise to well over 57 million ounces. So more and more interest coming back into gold after several years of very poor performance.
Yeah, and is it just like you say, because the dollar's getting weaker? Or are there other factors? Because, I mean, like you said, it has, you know, it was sort of oversold to a certain extent. I mean, are there other factors here?
Yes, yeah, there are always a few other things going on. And the best time to buy gold is when, shall we say, the stars are aligned and there are a whole bunch of different forces helping the price going higher. And what we've got is expectations for a weaker oil price. We've got the move in Australia for the central bank there, dropping interest rates. We've got the potential for more stimulation to come out from the Chinese authorities, and even perhaps from the U.S. authorities, with interest rates remaining low for longer, and this creates greater liquidity in markets. It creates expectations for, shall we say, maybe uncontrollable inflation rates going forwards. So if you've got an eye on what the potential is for inflation rising and perhaps policymakers not being able to control that so well, then gold is somewhere where you want to put some of your cash.
Yeah, so we can understand that and why gold should rally. But we've also seen other commodities now coming off a low base, I know. But they are starting to make a move. And I've heard a lot of people say this will not continue. It's just a technical bounce. What's the thoughts, John?
The commodity world is a really interesting place right now. On the one hand, you've got the Chinese government assuring the UK government in personal meetings that they are going to use a lot of their steel and other commodities for infrastructure projects within China. They're going to go through huge expansion on suburban rail systems, local infrastructure projects to try and improve commuting times and the accessibility of the workplace within these regional cities. So it won't just be Beijing and Shanghai, it'll be 200 cities around China, all getting the equivalent of Crossrail and HS2 and those sorts of things. So enormous infrastructure being planned. But there are forces pushing and pulling all of this. There are elements within the Chinese government that want to restrict the availability of liquidity. So things aren't quite happening as fast as they might have done. It's very difficult to ramp up 200 projects of this sort of scale. It has happened over the last decade. We had them building hundreds of new airports, large numbers of new nuclear power stations, those sorts of things. But Rome wasn't built in a day. Beijing was perhaps built in 1,000 years. So it takes a while for this to come through. But at the end of the day, China is going to use a lot more in terms of metal tonnages. Certainly, they've assured everyone that they're going to use substantially all of their own steel production. And if we are to believe that, and it's not always the right thing to believe what the Chinese say, then commodity prices are likely to go up. What we have seen in China is huge speculation on commodities recently, particularly the iron ore futures markets. That's caused the Chinese to clamp down on the speculation. It's slightly been spoiling some of their plans for restructuring the poor quality steel producers. And well, let's just say that there are always ups and downs along the way.
Yeah, so is it a case that, you know, to a certain extent, a lot of these commodities have been oversold due to the uncertainty with China. But I know there's a couple of bits of data come out now suggesting that China may have stopped slowing down, and that people think, hang on, China still need, like you said, a huge amount of raw material there. So maybe it's been a little oversold, do you think?
Certainly commodities were very oversold when we look at the end of last year and January, February this year. Commodity prices have picked up since then, and that is good, and I think there was the right response for the market to do. Where we go from here is a little difficult to say. If the Chinese ramp up their use of these commodities, and traders have put metal into Chinese warehouses expecting that ramp up to go ahead, and to go ahead quite quickly, so there is everything to play for. On the other hand, they are a bit wary of the bubbles that can be created along the way.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, let's try and look at some specifics and stocks that maybe we can, you know, expose ourselves to a bit of upside. Are there any stocks on your watch list there, John, that maybe people here, you know, listening should put on their Vox Markets watch list?
Well, I mean, there's two sides to the mining sector in equities terms. You've got the very large cap stocks. They're very liquid. But they will swing around. So Rio Tinto and Glencore, I think, would be the two to play in for maximizing returns on what's going on in China. Rio's is the safer but slower play. Glencore, I think, is a good quality company, but it's a bit more racy. It's got more leverage. It has more ability to make bigger gains out of what's going on in the world. We know and love smaller companies in the mining sector. We like to support companies that are growing themselves from almost nothing to hopefully greatness going forwards. And so we would recommend for a couple of gold stocks, which I think could benefit very nicely from the current environment, Noricum Gold, which we are brokers to, that's a company that's going to go into production in the third quarter this year in Georgia.
Yeah, yeah.
And has a joint venture with a local mining group, which is very impressive. And for a company to go into production that quickly is good news. Yeah. And then we've got Serabi Gold, which I've visited in the past. It's running an operation in the middle of the Brazilian rainforest, so that's always been a challenge, but it's been doing it for some years. And the grades coming out of the second mine, Sao Chico, are very, very impressive. So I see that Serabi have got quite a good future ahead of them, so long as the wheels don't fall off for any other reason. Also, our team here, they like Caledonia Mining, which has been operating in Zimbabwe for many, many years now, and has operated very successfully, paid dividends out of Zimbabwe and to shareholders, and seems to do quite well. We could also look at, if you want to take a high risk look at the gold market, you could look at Aureus. It's still renegotiating its debt with the banks, So there is the potential for investors to suffer a bit from that. But if they have a good renegotiation, then that would be a good stock to follow. They're operating a gold, the new Liberty Gold Mine in Liberia.
Okay, marvellous stuff. Well, I've had a couple of those guys on. I mean, Greg, I even met on Saturday at the UK Investor Show, and the guys from Caledonia on there, so very interesting. John, thanks so much. In fact, do you have any others outside the gold area there that, before you go? I'll put you on the spot here, but I mean, in other commodity plays?
Finost, I like. I like the... They're looking to do titanium mineral sands in Greenland, and it's yeah. just offshore. I think that's... That's another one that we represent, and I think that could do very well for you know, as a small company. It's a we could, I think at some stage we'll be calling that a world class project, but perhaps a bit early to say that. And last but certainly not least, SolGold, with its huge, I mean truly monumental copper gold project in Ecuador. Ecuador has been a country that people dared not go to from an investment perspective for many, many years. It's recently opened up under the government of Corias, and they seem to be much more friendly towards mining companies. And this is a really, really big project. They have kilometer-long intersections of copper-gold mineralization, and it's exceptional.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know what? I was chatting to Rod as well. He'd been on the podcast about three times, but I was chatting to him at the UK Investor Show as well. And that is a phenomenal sort of area there in Greenland, an inhospitable place. But it's literally, you know, they're dredging it up off the beach, and it's no mining needed there. It's a phenomenal project, and you know, it's worth looking into. And I was talking to him about it. So I can't believe that. And he said, well, that's the way it is up there. And, you know, it is definitely worth putting on your watch list. That's fam, isn't it? John, listen, thank you very much for coming on. And, hopefully we speak again soon.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now, after meeting the legend in the flesh on Saturday, it's Zach, the legend of the chart, the man. Cometh the man, cometh the hour. You're right, Zach.
Cometh the Westminster Arms. I think that was the place to be.
Which oddly shuts at 6:30.
Does it?
Yes. Well, it shows how much...
Right. Maybe they were just trying to kick you out, being unruly.
I think that was it. I think they just said that. Yeah, we shut at 6:30.
Exactly.
No pub shuts at 6:30, does it?
Did you believe them, did you?
Yes. Well, it was literally empty in there. It was serving no more drinks. What do you do when you shut the taps down?
Well,
no
more drinks. I think we drank the place dry. I think that's the problem. They just had to get it. They had to waiting for a new set of barrels to come in.
Yeah, of course, we are talking about the UK Investor Show, which we both went to on Saturday, and very good, met a lot of people there. But I almost think, you know, chatting to the guys in the pub afterwards was more valuable, you know?
Yes, well, I don't think you should probably say that on a public arena, but I know what you're saying, yes.
Okay.
But many of the people who were there were also... No, I mean, it was just great. It's a great date. You know, all the people who are interested in the market are there, and it was good fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, let's get to the chart, Zach. Let's not chat social life. Let's not pretend we have one. Okay, so what are we starting off with? What are you looking at?
I'm going to start off with Barclay Energia, which was actually one of the companies there.
Right, I wrote a blog post on this in the weekend, and I really like this company. The stat, it all weighs up, you know, the price of uranium, the market supply, what they've got there, and I really like it. So I do have to say, I do hold a bit of stock in this company, but today it's looking quite nice on the chart, isn't it?
Well, I've been saying since the records began that above 25p is going to 35p, which it's taken so long, I've actually lost some hair waiting for that to happen. Nearly there now, I think 33.6, the best so far. On my chart, there's a trend channel from June last year heading up to 38, 39p, and I think that's valid while we hold above, especially while we hold above 30. So basically above 30 up towards 40, and you know, it looks like a compelling story. You know, it's a nice, you know, it's a sort of, seems to be the fundamentals and the technicals match up. I like Phil Atherley.
Yeah.
Who I met on Saturday, seems to be a decent chap, cheerful.
Yeah.
He even talks to people like me, which is nice.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
You know, it's always good when people engage you with you rather than run away.
Yeah, but do you know what? I'm going to put a link to, because I had him on the podcast last week, and I really enjoyed chatting to him. And also, like I said, I wrote a blog, 5 Reasons Why You Should Put Barclay Energia on your watch list.
Energia,
yes. Energia, I'll put a link to that. because I think it's worth reading just you know, the overall, just learning about the uranium market there. It's very interesting. And okay, Zach, what's next? So you're bullish on
next
PKY.
Up is a company which had a placing, I believe, as on the day we're speaking. I think it was £800,000. But anyway, I had a placing, Rose Petroleum. Rose is the ticker. And what I like about this is that it's one of the rare occasions where there's a placing and the shares have gone up. Normally that doesn't happen, as you may be aware. I think the last time that happened that I remember is from Asia Met. And one or two other situations, which are, you know, maybe Metal Tiger. You know, something, you know, the top flight tends to happen like that. So you've got to be pretty special for that to happen. So that's just interesting. But the chart, anyways, was bullish even before this news. Support coming in towards 0.16, which is the 50-day and 200-day moving averages, and also a line of support from January running through that level. So above, let's say, 0.15. I'm looking for a retest of April resistance above 0.3 pence. So that would be quite a decent return on that stock, especially now that the cash raise is out of the way.
Yeah. Well, it's called Rose, isn't it? Rose. So, you know, what Rose, do you expect, I suppose?
There we are. By any other name, yes.
Yeah, marvellous. And go on.
Right. KEFI, I know that's a favourite of many people, private investors.
Yeah.
Beautiful breakthrough, the 200-day moving average beginning of last week. That 200-day line around 0.45 pence. We've held that nicely. Always a good sign when you break the 200-day line, which is basically breaking the downtrend, and you're so strong that you don't need to test as support afterwards, which it looks, I mean, obviously it might still happen, but at the moment we've got a bull flag above the 200-day moving average between 0.5 and 0.6. If you're sort of somebody with lots of testosterone, you'd be buying now and not waiting for any retest of the 200-day line. Otherwise, maybe wait for 0.6 pence to break, and then target as high as 1 pence, which is the top of a trend channel that I've drawn from last year.
Yeah, well, just nice there. Like that big break last Wednesday, like you said, and it went up to almost 6 pence, just shy of 6 pence. And the next day, of course, after a rise of that, it came back a little bit. But I think the low it hit was 0.52 pretty much. And the day after that, then it tested that 0.52 again, didn't it? And today, it's up a little bit higher than that. So that's a nice little confirmation, isn't it? It's quite bullish, I suppose.
Otherwise known as a bull flag.
Yeah, well, so that's it. In short terms, yes.
So as I said, it's very nice if it's above the 200-day moving average, because normally when you break the 200-day line, then you can't come back and bounce off it as new support, and then you go up. So it's not normally a straight, you know, the first time a masking move. So this is looking, yeah, special. Just in the way that Rose is special in its own way with the placing, this is special in its particular way on a technical basis.
Yes, they're all very special. What's next, Dak?
Right, next up, Infrastrata. This is also a 200-day moving average break, but in this case, it broke the 200-day line early last month, and did a KEFI initially, but then came back to bounce off the 200-day moving average, as I suggested, as these situations normally do. But I like this at the moment because we've effectively got a bull flag above, you know, at and above the 200-day line, which is at 2.06. Mm-hmm. Above that, I'm looking for a big target of 4 to 4.5 pence over the next 2 to 3 months. And it looks like it's on its way.
Yeah, I like that. And it's, do you know what? If you look back, it's always in the smaller stocks. These 50-day moving averages are quite telling, aren't they? Because it hit its head on that a couple of times. Was that back in March, February, March? And then
that was
down,
sort of...
Phase one
of the recovery is the 50-day average. Yeah. And obviously then after that, you know, you've got that. But the only problem with the 50-day average is that, as we saw in October, you can have a break through it. And it's not quite such a robust situation as the 200-day line. So the 200-day line, isn't it? It's more difficult to have sort of messing about. But this is a second chance here with the break of the 200-day line. And it's looking quite robust. Obviously, you could wait for it to just clear that 2.75 area and then go long. That might be another idea because we've just come back from that. But at the moment, it looks like, you know, bull flag above the 200-day line, like KEFI.
Marvellous. What else there, Zach, on the list?
On the list, on the hit list, let's go for a company that's somebody mentioned to me at the UK Investor Show, Goldstone Resources. seems to have done rather well. I think it's up 1.3 pence on the basis of versus Friday's close. So it looks like this person who I've obviously, unfortunately forgotten who they were now, probably Mammon was the name, came up, you know, has come up with a good tip. My view here is that even though we've gone up a lot, we could still have quite a lot more. If you go back to 2014 and draw a trend line from the sort of the early part of that that year, that's heading back towards 10 pence in my eyes. Obviously, it's a shame you can't see it.
What's the ticker there, Zach?
GRL.
GRL, that's it. Yes, sir. I was typing all kinds of things then. GRL, cool. Yeah.
And GRL, and also 10 pence was the support on the way down. So basically in 2013, that was the support area. And that is my target while the shares hold above. Let's just try and get the right... The right levels here. The high in June last year was around 3.5 pence, 3.44 pence. So while we're above that, up to as high as 10 pence. The RSI is currently 91, so really overbought. But expected to go back towards the 3.5 to 4 pence area, but not much lower than that, if at all. In fact,
yeah, that's rallied strongly there, isn't it? Okay, what's up next, Zakaru?
Next, Nighthawk Energy, which I've had hopes for quite a long time, unfortunately. But we'll see if on this occasion the shares manage to deliver the goods. Still looks a bit sort of a bit reticent, let's say. That's probably the best word to use. I'd probably be waiting for a break above the 50-day average at 1.35, really, to sort of get too excited about the situation at this time. But does look as though if you're an aggressive trader, you probably might start nibbling away now, even at these levels. So there's just one to sort of keep on the watch list. Break back above a penny, 1.1 pence, something like that. I think that could be the start of a move to the upside. Obviously, we've seen how so many secondary and minnow resources companies have come back this year. And, it takes a while for the laggards to catch up.
Yeah, that's Hawk. Yeah, and it hasn't tested that low, is it? Back in February or January, sorry, the 21st of January, which is what, 0.6. So that's a good sign, I suppose. Okay, all right. What's next, Zach?
Couple of requests from one from you, which you mentioned, to Safe Style.
Yeah, well, there's a request. In fact, somebody sent this in, but SFE, that is, yes.
SFE looks like a classic trending situation. If you look here, you had the Golden Cross in April last year, which worked as a buy signal in its own, very, very efficiently. I think 170, I think, was the entry you would have had on the cross. Since then, we've had a couple of bounces right on the 200-day moving average in November and then in January, just to sort of confirm the uptrend there and the momentum behind the stock. I'm drawing a line from November 2014 through the highs of last year, and that takes me up to a target towards £3.40, and that would be valid while we hold above the 200-day moving average, now at 251.
Marvelous. It doesn't like, do you know what? It doesn't like that 200-day moving average. It touches it and bouncing off. It's like a. I've got my line, my 200-day moving average, in red. And to me, it seems like it's red hot because as soon as it touches it, it bounces off it, you know?
Well, it's a very good, continuation signal. So that's something that keeps you, that can keep a stock going or stock or market going for many months.
Okay.
Now, bigger company, Standard Chartered.
Yeah, listen, I bought these, right, because I thought I saw a double bottom there. And retesting, even though yesterday was about 20-odd% up in these, but they are coming off a little bit. But where is support here, Zach?
Support, really, the March resistance around 505, 510 area, the 20-day average 513. So ideally, the low which is in place at the moment is 520. Ideally, the shares won't go back below. Yeah. Let's say 510 over the near term. So the hope is that you've seen the worst of this pullback. The only problem here is that the 200-day moving average was in the opposite way to Safe Style. That the shares just sort of went towards it and fell back quite sharply. So it looks as though some more consolidation between, let's say, 5 and 550 is required to take up the slack of what obviously has been a very bearish run here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, do you know what? Going back, we're still at like 10-year lows. Ridiculous. I know we've had the China sort of slowdown and stuff and bad loans and all this. But I'm hoping, what I'm hoping is like, that I've caught the bottom of a big bear, you know, so I've tripped him over, and somehow he's now changed into a bull. I don't know what, you know, I can't think of a good analogy there. But anyway, so I...
just a couple more, I think. One bullish one, which is up a bit today, Anglo-Asian mining. Here we've got a breakout through March resistance around the 7.6 pence level. It's gone up quite a lot already, but I'm looking for as high as 10 pence, which is the level you get if you connect last year's April and July highs. We had a golden cross buy signal in February, which is always something to sort of keep in mind, as, you know, providing backbone for a rally. And obviously anything with mining at the moment has to be regarded as reasonably hot.
Okay, and have we come to the end?
Nearly come to the end. Highlands Natural Resources.
Yeah, HNR.
I think this was quite a beauty, actually, because we had first thing we had was there was a gap through the 50-day moving average late last month.
Uh-huh.
Little gap there, if you can see that, sort of on the 25th of April.
Oh yeah.
That went straight through the resistance, which was around 18-19p. Then a flag formation formed above 20p.
Uh-huh.
At which point the target was 40p, which has nearly been hit, just missed it by a penny so far. My view is that, obviously, which has probably been everybody else's view, the shares have gone up a long way in a short space of time, but I've written today in another place that I think above 30p, well, if we break 40p, we could actually go as high as 60p as long as we hold above 30. So risking 10p to make another possible 20. So this looks like a real, you know, like a rocket launcher type situation. So,
yeah,
you know, if you're in it, probably you take off half at 40 and maybe try and run the rest over the rest of, you know, the next couple of months up to 60.
I had the CEO on last week, Robert Price, really nice guy, and he started chatting there, and it's a really nice fella, and he started giving me the sales pitch, and I said, no, Robert, we haven't started yet. He goes, oh, I'm sorry, Justin, thanks very much. I didn't think, so I thought we'd started. So I thought, oh, no, it's okay. A really nice fella, you know, really pleasant to chat to, and really polite,
well,
anyway.
But that gap there, you know, that gap's through the 50-day average, which I call the rocket launcher, is one of the best signals around. You don't see it very often, but it can be the precursor of an extended move. So, and obviously we already had some of that, but let's see if we can break 40. If we can do that, then there's more joy to come for the bulls.
Yeah, and is that your term? Have you coined that phrase, the rocket launcher, or is that a well-known?
It's the rocket launcher. Yes, I think that's. I like that because it's sort of like.
What I'm saying is, has the legend Zach Mayer coined that phrase, or has somebody else coined it?
No, that's my own one. I couldn't think of anything better than that, unfortunately. I'm, you know, a failed poet, really. So the rocket launcher, I think, is the... because it's sort of one you don't really expect. It, you know, it's a major move, but it sort of starts from just a little gap, which you wouldn't really expect.
Yeah, yeah.
A bit like
with
a rocket launcher.
Exactly. So. That makes sense to me, Zach. You know, you're the man there, so I like that.
Well, yes, no. I mean, I think, you know, if you, it'd be interesting to be able to sort of number crunch and look through charts and see how many times that, you know, what the return is on that sort of signal. Obviously, the other thing is when you have a gap at the top of a move, which I think you saw the opposite of that, say, on Next, then it can be a bit of a killer blow. So I think Next came up with that sort of gap at the right at the top of the range, and then down we went. So I don't know if actually it was quite the same on Next, but there is a gap there from December. So there is. I'm not quite sure what that would be actually, but
okay. Can we do one more? HMI. It's Harvest Minerals. There's a lot of requests for people to get this company on my podcast. So. Hopefully, you know, we'll get them on very soon. So HMI, I'm putting you on the spot there, Zach, but you are, like I said, the man, the legend, and it shouldn't be a problem for you there.
Well, it does look beautiful, actually. The last couple of weeks, a V-shaped bull flag, one of my favorite formations, just as much as the rocket launcher thing. So this looks like a mid-move consolidation. Ideally, the shares won't go back below, let's say, 5p.
Yeah,
or even 6p. In fact, the 10-day moving average at 6.5p. So there's a little. I don't know if you can see that it's a sort of V-shaped flag that we had a spike to 8p. And then, so yeah, there's actually a, which is that's probably my own, that's my own thing as well. Actually, that's that, the V-shaped bull flag.
Well, you should call it. I think you should coin this like a bull flag, you know, with a V rather than F.
Bull flag, yes.
Yeah.
So basically, this should be a mid-move consolidation. We went from 4 to 8, and then we go from 8 to 12, or even actually 14, which is where a line from September last year going through the October high up to 14p.
Marvellous, Zach. It's lovely to talk to you, and of course lovely to meet you again on Saturday, and we'll speak next week, fella.
Thanks, Justin, thank you very much.
Okay, today's penny stock with potential is suggested by Donald. Thank you, Donald, for getting involved. Dragonfly Investments, DRG is ticker. It's an investment company, has 35 million shares in issue. Market cap is around 350k. This is a tiddler. 1.1 pence is the price. How much cash or debt does the company have? Enough to last 12 months. That's fair enough, Donald. Please do your own research on any of these stocks on the podcast suggested, by the way. These are just investment ideas, and there's no buy or sells on these. These are just, you know, information for you to do with what you want. So, three reasons why you think this company has potential. Number one, Consortium owns 64%, so last company for $120 million. Number two, main market listed Shell, so no time limits. And number three, 350 market cap. Yeah, there is potential there when you see that, you know, because, you know, any little deal could move the needle. But like I say, do your own research, please. That's Dragonfly Investments, DRG. And this podcast is dedicated to the one, the only, Scott B93. Thank you, Scott, for going on iTunes and leaving me a 5-star rating and review. Got 140 now, going for 150. Like I said, I'm in the top 10 of the world's What's Hot on Investing Podcasts on iTunes. I want to get their top 5. Please, let's get the top 5. Scott says, always a brilliant podcast to listen to and has opened my eyes to many stocks. Keep up the fantastic work, Justin. And there's a big exclamation mark there. Cheers, Scott. This podcast is dedicated to you. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.